Yeah, you can edit on this, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, because we're not going to have intro music.
No, I'm not doing the intro music. I'm not doing the ads, and we're live.
Okay. Well, that's, one day, so I think...
Anchor's amazing.
I think on one of these, you need to, we just need to be talking, and you just need to, lean over and just tap the button, and then just kind of see...
That's kind of how we roll, though.
I mean, it is, and I think it would be fine, because we're normally already talking about this type of stuff.
I mean, that first one that we did, I literally called you on the phone and told you I was recording this phone message. That was our first podcast. In fact, we need to go back and listen to those because I don't want to repeat stuff. But
yeah, but I mean, I think it's going to happen a little. One thing we didn't get to do on the last episode is...
Have the lights on.
So we have the lights on. So really we're going to do...
I feel like I'm underwater.
Sean could do a cool post. I can't because I'm social media absent. But you could do a cool post of this space if you want to after this episode.
Yeah.
So the studio is really cool. I don't know. We didn't really talk about it much last episode. We have
it's like a bunker.
Yeah, it really is. It's like a little bunker with these strobe lights on top.
All the nails up here. It's really cool.
So
what's taking forever?
And I don't know what they would have been for. I don't know. So what Sean's talking about, there's like a drop. It's not a drop ceiling, but just like subfloor.
Yeah.
And we're in a basement, and there's all these nails and these boards up on the ceiling, and it looks, now that the studio's around it, it looks purposefully stylish. Mm-hmm. But before when there was no curtains, there was no audio equipment, anything like that, it looked like a dungeon. And it was pretty scary down here.
Yeah.
But we just hung up some, we went to the art supply store, and hung up canvas.
Canvas. Okay.
So for like painting.
Yeah.
And we hung that up all around the entire perimeter.
You're going to hire an artist to paint on them.
That would be, it'd be cool.
Yeah.
We put a big old fluffy rug on the floor.
Yep. A big old door here.
Big old door table. I will spill that
in a
cup of coffee.
Original to the house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was sitting in the basement. Right down here? Okay. It was sitting in the basement already. And so I brought it over here and I bought legs from Lowe's, these iron posted legs.
Yes.
From Lowe's, which was so easy.
Yeah.
And then I just put it together. And now anybody that comes into the basement or is on the podcast for Bridget's or myself's chutzpah, then they sign the door. And then we're also slowly building a wine collection down here. Three bottles strong.
Yeah, so that's good. Far.
So, and then I want to put more.
That's about where I max out. And I'm like, yeah, and then I'm like, want that one.
I think it's as it progresses, I want to put some more wine shelves in here just because I think it'd be kind of fun. Because who doesn't have an 1,100 square foot home with a wine cellar in it?
Right.
You know, why not just go ahead and go for it?
Yeah. Embrace it.
Yeah, because it's like, that's your destiny. I want one.
Yeah.
So why not go ahead and do it? And my problem is, though, all those bottles are empty.
Oh, okay.
So it's just more as I drink them,
you put the empty bottles
in the wine racks.
That's basically like an upgraded college student with the empty beer bottles. Yeah. That's basically what you are, Jacob.
When I was in college, I had a whole bin full of like the empty beer bottles and stuff.
Yeah, of course you did. You were college
because you had to keep it in there because you weren't allowed to have it.
Oh,
and so then we would also lock it. So if anyone come in, it was my personal property, and they couldn't, like, if they're doing like a search or something, which they would do, they couldn't search it because it was just this locked chest in the middle of the room, clearly full of bottles of alcohol.
Wow. No, I just followed the rules. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird.
You were a rule follower in that aspect.
In college, yeah.
Oh, in college. Oh, that's right.
Like, yeah. Whatever the rules are, okay, I'm in. I'll do it. I don't care.
That was part of your incognito move. Because you're not a huge... Are you a big rule guy?
No, I'm not.
I didn't think so.
No.
Yeah. I mean, you'll like follow the traffic laws, sort of.
I do follow the traffic laws.
I think that's good.
And it's a challenge here in Louisville, because you're like, that guy just ran it, and he was behind me.
Yeah. I ran the yellow, and that guy... Some people, you'll stop at the red and they'll come around you.
Yeah,
and
run away. Because they're so ticked that you're stopping. So, yeah, so there's that. Yeah, it's fun. But
that's a mess.
Yeah. And so, it's nice to be back.
Yeah.
And nice to have, decent equipment and stuff. We're still just recording on my phone. You have this really beautiful mic that I'll never use, but
I'll use
it for chutzpah.
Yeah.
But, I was telling you how... My wife was asking me what the house looked like on the outside, and I was like, I don't remember.
I don't have a clue.
I have a clue because I totally wrecked my bike on the way over here.
So this was to the first episode.
Yeah.
Flipped over the handlebars?
Over the handlebars, smashed my phone's case, and thankfully I had a secondary monitor that smashed and not my primary phone.
Okay. So yeah. this is not a new phone.
It's the same phone. It just had a case on it with a secondary monitor. It was really handy.
And you just wrecked that.
Well, it was insured. I'll get it fixed. I just got back on the bike, rode here, and did the recording.
And might I remind the audience, it's less than a block away. Or two blocks away.
Four blocks.
Maybe. Four blocks, really? Yeah. Okay, four blocks.
You're not a city guy, are you?
No. Yeah. it's a hop, skip, and a jump from where I'm from.
As a crow flies.
As the
It's close. But you do have to cross Preston, which is a challenge. But anyway, I got a new bike and realized really quickly that the brakes are ultra sensitive. So I had to walk over here today.
And you got the new bike with your fun little...
Yeah, with my health app, 365, go 365. So I saved up points all year, got a phone, and then hurt myself.
Yeah.
I mean, got the bike and then hurt myself. Yeah. So that was
great. You worked really hard to completely hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Which normally you don't have to work that hard.
No. So I've got a marathon I'm planning to do next month. So hopefully...
Running?
I'll be able to... I don't know if I can run. Mm. I really don't know. We'll see. My ribs were pretty hurt. So
next month.
It's for the Derby.
That's soon.
The Derby Marathon.
That sounds... Oh, my... It'll be fun. Two of my friends are doing that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's a lot of... How many miles is that?
Oh, what is a marathon?
26.2
or something like that? Yeah, 23.2 or... I don't know. Something like that. It's a number thing. I did a half marathon during COVID.
Really?
Yeah.
So you've gotten into, like, the running a little?
Not really running, but walking really fast.
Okay.
I have enough people... I'm 50, so I know enough people my age with, like... really bad knee problems and hip problems.
And you're like, we can do this.
I can do this without like, boom, boom,
right,
running on the knee. You know, like, no, I can do that. So, yeah, I can walk really fast.
That's good.
But not the silly walk.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I was like, are you going to be like a suburban mom? Because that's...
I'm not doing that.
That's a good walk.
Yeah. No. And I can jog, but I'm not going to go crazy.
Well, there's no reason to. Yeah. You're a healthy guy now besides the broken ribs.
Yeah.
That's, you know... happens.
It happens.
I'm surprised you haven't hurt yourself more, like, doing the actual things that would be more likely, like surfing and...
Well, I've hurt myself surfing really bad.
Oh, wow.
Wrecked my motorcycle. Yeah, I've done all kinds
of stuff. Okay, that's what I thought.
I did that right before Tough Mudder. Totally wrecked my motorcycle.
I want to do a Tough Mudder.
Yeah. Don't do it here in Kentucky.
No?
No, it's deadly. Like, there were really healthy people injured severely.
Really?
But it was so muddy. It was so cold. Yeah, don't do it here.
My trainer...
Go to Florida. Do a Florida Tough Mudder.
That'd be fun.
That's like a toughy mudder.
Toughish mudder?
A puffy mudder.
A puffy mudder. I want to do one, though, because...
Yeah, do the one here in Eastern Kentucky.
My trainer, like, did the Tough Mudder stuff, and then another thing, Iron Man Challenge.
Yeah.
She did those, and she was like, yeah, they're great. And I was like,
I'm not doing the Iron Man. That's great.
That's too much. Right. But anyway, some of the things we talked about on the last episode... I wanted to get more information on, and it will be coming, the dyslexic school that was in upstate New York.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I want to try to reach out to people there. And then we had talked about just guests going forward, and I think that's going to be a couple episodes from now as we start to get our sea legs back, so bear with us.
With COVID restrictions.
Exactly. We're reaching out to those people. You know, we're waiting to hear back. And hopefully we can start to have other people besides us on the podcast. But we came across some interesting information today.
Yeah, it happened just today.
Yeah.
So are you on LinkedIn? I tried to tag you in a post.
Yes, I am on
LinkedIn.
I could
not find you.
Really?
Are we not connected on LinkedIn?
Probably. That doesn't surprise me.
What universe are you from again?
That doesn't surprise me at all. Okay, so we need to get connected.
Yeah,
then you can tag
me. To log into LinkedIn in this universe so that I can find you.
So I have to do it on... I didn't realize
I
was doing this.
You can't
universe.
Do your alternate universes. So I... one of my... I think they call them influencers or whatever they call it on LinkedIn is Richard Branson. He's very outspokenly dyslexic.
I didn't know
and
that.
And he has a space program.
Virgin
and,
Mobile, going to space, and doing all that.
Airplanes and trains, oh my. Yeah, does all kinds of stuff. And has an island and all that kind of stuff. And he posted today, since I follow him, like I got the notification, that LinkedIn is now putting dyslexic thinking as a skill. that you can add to
really?
Your LinkedIn profile.
So what does that mean?
It exactly? means you have to delete one of your skills because I have my skills full.
Oh, I didn't know that there was a limit.
No, there's a limit, yeah.
So I don't LinkedIn.
All you have to do is go to college for 20 years and you'll hit your limit.
You'll hit your limit.
Really. That's what happened to me. Yeah. Goodness.
So you're going to delete like writing
yeah,
or
do
something
that.
Like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I do that. Yeah, I'm good at that. Yeah, I'm good. You know, so like one of those things. So
one of those.
What I did was I found one that only one person said that I'm good at.
Mm.
I was like, I'll delete that one. And my friend Tim Ching will understand.
That'd be really funny.
It's like, what?
If they reached out and they were like, I supported him in that endeavor.
I know. I'd be so embarrassed. So I was like, only one person said I was good at, what was it, like, newsletter design or something like that. I was like, I could take that off.
Yeah.
And so added dyslexic thinking. And so now that's a thing.
Now, was Richard responsible for putting this onto LinkedIn, or did LinkedIn do this outside of Richard Branson's purview?
I tried to print the post.
Right.
But I printed his profile by accident. I don't know what happened there because I was reading the post and I was like, print. And it just said, okay, everything about Richard Branson that you already know. It's like, thank you very much. No, there was a Made by Dyslexia group. And I think they were highly involved in that process. But I'm not really sure like what made LinkedIn cave. I don't even know who the CEO of LinkedIn is.
And I don't even know what I don't know how you compartmentalize that skill, right? You're a dyslexic thinker.
Yeah,
I know that's what we kind of talk about, but
on his post, he equated it to creative thinking, problem solving, working in teams.
My dyslexia shaped Virgin right from the very beginning. It helped me think big, but kept our message simple.
And
so that's interesting. And then there's this Made by Dyslexia. If you go to LinkedIn, Richard Branson, you'll see this. It's this Made by Dyslexia group.
It's funny, though. He talks about one of his first things he did when he dropped out of school was start a magazine. And I was like, that took chutzpah, right? So,
yeah.
And I was like, that's one of the things I did. Like, I got into... I was in the newspapers and magazines and stuff like that. Like, that was my thing. And it was like, I just have to have someone who's good at spelling work.
And then
me.
Just put them...
Like, out of the ideas.
And see, what's cool is the founder of Vice News was the same way. If you ever read about
it,
the founder of Vice News was a big... And this is going to... I'm butchering his background. He's a really cool guy. His name's like something Avi, like Skidoo. I want to say
Skadoosh. So
I want to say Skadoosh. Yeah. I think it is.
A big fan.
Yeah, I know it's...
I got kids.
I know it's not. I think it's Skadoosh Avi.
Right.
But anyway, he was like... He had some drug problems, went through a lot of issues at home, yada, yada, yada. Had a... Definitely... I don't think he's outspokenly dyslexic, but definitely had a different way of thinking about things. Mm-hmm. And started writing for a magazine and then ended up getting with people, buying that magazine... And, you know, so on and so forth.
I think that's we have, like, I remember when I was a reporter before Grammarly, before Spellcheck.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a dictionary. I looked everything up and I sat by really smart people and I could ask them and they wouldn't, like, ridicule me.
Right.
Right. But I think when you have a magazine or you have a newspaper, I was a reporter for 2 years. Really what's important is, yeah, the writing. But can you go to a 3-hour-long meeting with a bunch of old people arguing about something and come out with a story?
Yeah.
And dyslexic people, I had like 10 stories every time.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that was a story, that was a story, that was a story. I could totally do a, you know, and I'm
when
like,
I sit,
my publisher, like, what do you want me to write?
Yeah.
Here's what I got. And he's like, oh, I want that one and that one and that one. Go.
Yeah.
You got 10 minutes.
You got all the goodies. You got all the goodies.
Yeah.
Well, and you can... Do you find you can also control that situation as well? Not just have all the ideas, but like when I'm in a business like setting, you know, which is a little bit, it's similar, and we have all this stuff going on, I can come out with like a plan or with like being productive, right?
Yeah.
So I can take all people's ideas. They don't seem complicated to me. And I can say, well, this is the direction we need to go.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's a huge dyslexic brain thing. And what's so, so frustrating is when you're going through like education, like when you're going through schooling, until I've gotten into my MBA, that's not a testable skill, really, unless you go to like a leadership academy or you go to, I don't know. I think it's difficult to say, can you take this organic set of ideas, make them into something, you know, like you do with the stories, make them into something that's productive or make them something that actually matters.
Yeah.
And take people's, their own sporadic thoughts or their own ideas, put it together and say, this is something that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think that is uniquely dyslexic because of what we talked about last time, like that we're focusing on the people, not the material as much a lot of the times.
Right. And too, I'm like, so what do we want to accomplish here?
Exactly.
And I'm really thinking about that. And I think a lot of times, especially in academia, the focus tends to be on the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, process is good.
Has to have a goal. But
what's the goal? What's the actionable plan? And so I'm in a committee and they're talking. And I'm like, okay, so one of our strategic priorities is this. How do we make this meet that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's like, huge. Oh, what? I was like, yeah, that's all we got to do.
We can't just talk into oblivion about.
No, I have to know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't want to like wax poetic forever about this and that.
Which is what happens a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
And I think people are, and I don't mean that in a negative way.
There's a room for that.
Exactly.
Because that gives you the ideas, you know?
But you have to be able to compact it and say, this is what we're going to do. And I like that you said, what was the term you use? Actionable items or what? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I use that same exact term all the time. Yeah. I'm like, what are our actionables? What are our takeaways?
Right. Yeah. Show me the mark.
And I wonder where that comes so we from can hit it. Because I'm not a very, and I don't know that dyslexic people are very, they're not strategic goal oriented. Mm-hmm. Would you say?
Not really. No.
So do you think that came as a, like I had to, like you did that, like you started to have to, like was your brain, were you not, I don't know if I was ever not doing that. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't remember a time where I wasn't really good at taking other people's ideas, putting into.
No, I mean, like as a kid, you don't get that opportunity. You're like, we've talked about it in prior posts. Like you're told to memorize this.
Yeah.
You're told to have all your spelling words memorized by Thursday night, or you can't watch Magnum PI. You know, that was, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
It was like the thing. And it wasn't something where I could problem solve that because it was just me and my brain.
And you just wrestling. Had to figure it out.
Figuring out how to do it. And I could not figure it. I still can't spell.
No.
Like I can't.
And I don't want to spell.
I mean, Grammarly spells for me, you know? So I just like right click. Yep. That's it.
Yep, thanks. That's what I'm looking for.
And I have to know, like, the different pronunciations to make sure I have the right word. And if I don't know, I Google it. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, exactly.
Make sure it's the right definition.
Yeah, make sure, like, it's, okay, that's spelled the right way.
It looks like the right word I want to use. Sound right to me.
Yep.
I do that to my wife all the time because she has that brain. And she's like, nope, that's the word. I was like, it doesn't look right.
It doesn't. I don't. Trust me. I don't think that's.
Okay, I trust you. It doesn't look right to me.
That's what I have to do. Bridget's editing my papers now, right? Now that I'm doing papers for school again. And she's like. She giggles like throughout the paper. She's like, oh, like I see what you're trying to write here. And it's really nice. It's just kind of funny. Cause that's the kind of stuff we're dealing with.
Right.
Back to this Richard Branson thing.
I found
what we were talking about. So it's Made by Dyslexia is our purpose is we're a global charity led by successful dyslexics. We've built the world's largest community of dyslexic people and our allies. Our purpose is to help the world to understand, value, and support dyslexia. We believe that you'll like this. We believe in the game-changing power of dyslexia. Thinking, after all, everything from the light bulb to the iPhone, the aeroplane to the motor car, was invented by a dyslexic mind. And our skills are vital in shaping the future, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's
so cool. They have like workplace guides, education guides, they have a 21st definition of dyslexia here.
What is their definition of dyslexia?
So this is going to be interesting. Okay. So dyslexia influences as many as 1 in 5 people and is a genetic difference in an individual's ability to learn and process information. It's got more, but I think process information is always been a thing
from
how I inferred. Yeah. As a result, dyslexic individuals having differing abilities with strengths in creative, problem-solving, and communication skills, and challenges with spelling, reading, and memorizing facts.
Mm. Well, I can memorize facts, but it's just not dates and names.
Dates, names, numbers.
And those are what, if you go to a trivia night, it's dates and names.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I know what you're talking about.
I know that speech.
But I don't know.
I can't remember the person's name.
I find myself all the time watching documentaries, and I'm like, I tell this really cool story. Yeah. They're like, oh, who did that? And I'm like, it was a king in like the 9th century.
Let me Google it.
Yeah, exactly. I know all the other details.
I could tell you what the person was wearing.
Yeah.
The plane they kind of flew into. Yeah, like all the random stuff that is not measurable.
Yeah, exactly. Generally, a dyslexic cognitive profile will be uneven when compared to neurotypical cognitive profile.
Neurotypical.
I like that. Neurotypical cognitive profile. So we are not neurotypical. That'd be a cool t-shirt. Not neurotypical.
Okay. I'd go with that.
I could make some of those t-shirts. This means that dyslexic individuals really do think differently. Traditionally, benchmarking disadvantages dyslexics, measuring them against the very things they find challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you can take a dyslexic thinking skills test.
Okay.
You can take the test.
Oh,
here.
Share it with me. Because I don't have the money to be like, I've never gone through testing.
You gotta.
I was just.
That's going to be next episode.
Verbally, I don't know. I don't want to, like, told that you might be dyslexic by my aunt who was into grammar and English.
Right.
She's like, I told you the story.
I mean, well, you
have spelling the same word 7 different ways. Like,
and you have the mind
for
sure.
You might be dyslexic.
Do you think think there's any, it's a lot of people that have dyslexia also have like ADHD and things like that.
Yeah. I haven't been diagnosed with that, but I do like to do many things at once. I get really bored if I'm only doing one thing.
Well, that's what we talked about this in the last episode.
My dad's
with me,
totally
with the books.
ADHD. But, it's tough.
Okay, so here's where they're the ones that got LinkedIn to add.
Okay. Good for them.
If you're dyslexic, add dyslexic thinking as a skill on your LinkedIn profile, or encourage those who are dyslexic to add it to their profile. So it seems to be, it is directly related, not like, oh, I got the dyslexic mindset. Like, they're not trying to over broaden it. It is like, hey, this is just telling people you're dyslexic.
Right.
Because I was confused by that dyslexic mindset.
No, they call it dyslexic thinking.
Dyslexic thinking.
That's
I was
they
like,
call it as a skill.
Now, is this going to be just like completely overblown and taken by people?
It could be. I mean, we talked about that before too, how we felt like maybe you were like, hey, so I don't think some of these people I'm with are really dyslexic.
I think they
fake the test because. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're dyslexic. They're not. They don't think like.
Because then they get accommodations and they get all that stuff.
So you wonder. You wonder.
And I think that's for them to decide.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not bothered by it anymore, but I remember episodes ago. We need to re-listen to them.
Yeah.
We talked about that. Okay. So you can also put, these are fun, add a line to your email signature. Hashtag made by dyslexia. And you can spell it a bunch of different ways.
Okay. Yeah, Branson was going off about that. Like, how come dyslexic people have to spell something that's so difficult to spell?
Yeah, I think that that's totally fair. They got some videos and stuff on here. I sent you a link to the quiz.
Maybe I'll do the quiz. Should we do the quiz as part of the podcast? Or
yeah, we'll do the quiz.
Look over the quiz yourself because you are certified.
I am a certified,
degree holding,
bona fide dyslexic.
All right.
I'm a degree holding.
I'm a PhD hack.
We should get. You're just trying to intellectually understand dyslexia.
Right.
We should have someone on here like a very like a Harvard professor or something, and just see what they think about dyslexia. Like, they don't have dyslexia.
Oh, it would be to them. No, it's it's not Harvard that's doing all the dyslexic research that I get so angry about.
Oh, it was like Stanford or something.
It's another big university.
One of those big people.
Yeah, big. They got all the money, and they're like dyslexic people.
Oh, they're the ones that
can't read. Shut up.
They're the ones that made the font.
Yeah, I don't know if they did that, things like they
like,
just
oh,
can't,
well, dyslexic people can read now. Here's
the
font for
read.
Them.
They can't do numbers. They can't.
It's not. It's all about what we can do.
And I was like, I like that this is more like, this is what we can do.
And this is an empowering site, too.
And I think it was Branson said this, but it was really interesting. They were saying with AI and the development of our artificial intelligence, that actually dyslexics are going to start to get more needed.
Because
we're creative problem solvers, and AI can do all the math and spelling.
Yeah, we don't. You said this to me, like, whenever we met, like, sophomore year of college or whatever. You were like, we're not going to need those skills.
Right.
Right? Like, we're not going to need those skills. They're going to be phased out.
It was a skill
a lot
to design. It was needed for the British Empire.
Yeah.
And we still want people to sit still and spell and do math in their head.
You know, I think that
It's over. The British Empire is over.
I think we should talk about the British Empire every episode. Because now we're...
I think I did last time.
You did too. Yeah, we're two episodes in a row.
I was so jacked up on adrenaline after
but
that.
But they were so influential.
Yes.
And so many... It seems mostly negative, but I don't... There are probably some
things. I mean, you know, I don't want to judge. But, I mean...
We love you, British. Don't come back.
Yeah, I don't know. There's lots of mixed feelings there. But you could see some really war-torn areas... But some of their cultural artifacts have been preserved in England. You know, so you're like, all right, so they really shouldn't have left, but...
And now some people are trying to get them back.
Have I don't know. All that stuff? Yeah, I'm glad it's not my problem. I don't want to deal with it.
There's so many things that I'm glad I'm like, that's above my pay grade.
I don't want to talk about it. So as we wrap up...
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, how do you feel, as someone who's more recently graduated from college, about putting... dyslexic thinking on your LinkedIn if you were looking for a job? So if you were like a junior or senior in college, would you add dyslexic thinking onto your LinkedIn profile? I did it. I'm a tenured professor. They can't fire me.
Yeah, nothing's going to happen.
I mean, the school could shut down or whatever. I don't know. But the odds of me being... I'm not looking for work. So.
I don't like it. I don't know. Again, conflicting feelings as always. I think it's great that it's an empowering thing. What I'm worried is... LinkedIn getting behind it is going to dilute the special nature of it. So when I go to job interviews, when I've interviewed in the past, I'm interviewing now. I'm looking for other jobs sometimes now.
You want your current employer to know that?
Yeah. I'm not looking for jobs.
Very happily employed.
Yeah, I'm very happily employed in my current. No, back a year ago.
Yeah.
I had interviewed for another job, probably the last time I had interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
I like explaining that in person.
Yes.
Right? I like talking out what the dyslexia does for me. Because if you just say I'm a dyslexic thinker. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, does that mean you're retarded? Or right. Whatever. No, I agree. That's what you grew up hearing.
And I think that a lot of the people you're interviewing with still are part of the older generation. Right? If I'm interviewing with somebody, it's most likely going to be with someone that's part of, an executive or something like that, that's an older person. Nothing wrong with those people for the most part. It's just...
Oh, and I want to say that R word is a horrible word, but it's just a word we grew up hearing a lot.
We heard it a lot. We heard, the R word a ton, and we heard special a ton.
And some old people still use those terms with us.
Yes. So it's... We agree that it should not be used, but it's definitely okay to say for us. Because
I'm just going back to childhood memories on that one.
You hear it. You hear the teacher standing over you saying it to you. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think that it could potentially dilute it. And I hope that it doesn't, but that's just where I am, is it needs to be something you explain in front of somebody.
Yeah. And what I'm hoping is with the leadership of people like Richard Branson on being active and vocal about it, is that more industry leaders will just say, yeah, I'm dyslexic.
Right.
And then it becomes more of this thing wow, hey.
Then you attach it to someone that's done this thing.
This person right out of college is saying that they have dyslexic thinking, and so does the CEO that I really look up to.
Yeah, that's true.
So talk to me about your dyslexia. How does it help you solve problems?
Right.
Give me some examples.
But then
a conversation piece.
What goes with it, which is why I like that this Made by Dyslexia thing exists and other places like that, you have to have the knowledge behind what dyslexia is to do what you just did, right? To be this person has done it. They're dyslexic. I like this kid who's come out of college. He's saying he's dyslexic, because you have to be able to realize if it's actually what you're looking for, right? It seems challenging because it's broad,
right?
And
there are ranges too. We've talked about that too.
And I'm thinking through this out loud. I'm sure it's overall a good thing, but it's
But I mean, we've met people who they struggle with reading or something or really basic math, and we can. Yeah, I can do those kind of things.
Exactly.
So there's definitely a range.
And it makes it a little more, it just makes it a little more complicated. And I don't want to get to a point where I'm sitting in an interview and talking about dyslexia, and they're like, oh, everybody has dyslexia. Has dyslexia. You know what I mean? They're like, I've heard this spiel before. And that's the only thing that I worry about. Yeah. But otherwise, I think I'm happy it's being promoted.
Yeah. And you're right. It's I'm really like being dyslexic.
Exactly.
And I don't want people to claim it who aren't.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, no, and I agree.
It just really makes me who I am.
That's what I'm trying to say. It's more than
this.
It's more than a thing I add to LinkedIn.
Yeah,
right. It's
more than newsletter design.
Exactly. Yeah. It needs to be verbally described.
And it shaped my whole childhood, my whole early education system, my whole college experience.
Yeah.
It was one of those things that I had to struggle with, but I also had to embrace.
And you learned a lot.
Strengths in it, and yeah, I found my weaknesses.
And you learned how to work around things. You learned how to be creative. Like, a lot of that, you know, while we do often, and we're wrapping up here, but what we do often, like, kind of hate on the system a little bit of education, being dyslexic allowed us, while we were ostracized, also allowed us to work, give us the tools to work around the system. It gave us the brain, the type of brain to look at it in a way of saying, oh, we can do it this way, or we can do it that way.
Right. Let's try a different way.
Yeah.
This didn't work.
Yeah. And if you were ostracized in a different way, and I don't want to go into that, but like if you were had another type of setback, you might not be able to use that setback to get around it. You might just be stuck.
Right. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, let's finish it up.
Hey.
Well, we'll post. It's Thursday today. We can post this tomorrow.
Yeah, that's cool. Right now.
We can post it now. I don't care. We can just do it every.
All right, we'll see you next time. We'll do like a test, an online test.
Yeah, we're going to do an online test.
All right, we'll see how that works.
Okay.
Cool, man.
See you.
Bye.